So we said, Hashem created the world, yesh mi'ayin. Something from nothing. It's amazing. Think about it. How do you create something from nothing? So, Par Hashem is not a problem. Hashem created something from nothing. Today we have, you know, Einstein, E equals MC squared. He says mass can come from energy, and energy can come from mass. But that's not something from nothing. It's something from something. But who created the first thing? And the Ramban talks about. He talks about Tohu Vavohu, right? He talks about Tohu and Vohu. Tohu is... Bohu is inside it. Bohu. In it. But Tohu. Tohu is the first, he says, first small particles. Amazing Ramban. Hashem created Tohu and then Bohu. So amazing. Amazing Ramban. So that's why Hashem created the first things. So the highest level is God. God is Ayin. What's Ayin? Nothingness. Aleph Yud Nun. May Ayin never always read. David Amino says, we say, Shia Amano. May Ayin never always read. From where will my come my help? May Ayin is, from nothingness will come my help. Because Hashem is nothingness. What does that mean? Nothing physical. He's nothingness. Where is Hashem? He's everywhere, nowhere. He's nothingness. You can't put your finger on him. Right? What do we know about Hashem? All we know about Hashem is the negatives. What do we know about Hashem? He's above time. No time affects him. We know no space affects him. He has no dimensions affect him. He has no limits. Everything is negative. We don't know anything about positive about Hashem. Hayah v'viyeh. He was, is, will be. What does that mean? Above time. No time, basically. That's what it means. Unchanging. Does not change. So that's all these things that we have to pay attention to. Ayin. It's the first level of God's revelation. It's the ultimate in selflessness. That's an amazing concept. Think about it. The Kabbalists talk about Tzimtzum. What is Tzimtzum? Hashem withdrew from this space to create. What does that mean? That's Ayin. Ayin means my ego is nothing. Hashem removed his ego. Hashem has no ego. Hard to imagine a being with no ego. Hashem is the most modest and humble we can't even imagine. Hashem is not a human being. I always get this question at school. Is he a man or a woman? Is God a man? Is he male or female? The kids are very concerned. Is he male or female? You know, there was one-upmanship. If he's the boys say, oh, God is male, and the girls say he's female. He's neither. Hashem is not a being. He's not a being as we understand. He's not Ayin. What is he? Nothing. There's nothing we can put our finger on and say, this is Hashem. Even though we say, Zekeli, we said, the Shifchad Yam, the maid at the sea could say, Zekeli, this is my God, and I will beautify him. How did she, what do you mean, this is my God? What did she see? To say, this is my God. She saw a miracle. She saw something. What did she see? I don't know. They saw some kind of manifestation. And the revelation of Sinai, they saw something. But even then, it didn't last. It lasted as a golden calf. You know, how long did it last? But what do they see? This, you can't see anything. Because whatever you see, you have to know, is just, it's not real. It's not real. A human being cannot see God. You cannot. Lo yirani ha'adam v'chai. You will not see me and live. A human being cannot see God and live. So we cannot see God because our brains are not big enough to encompass what we're going to see. So that's why they died, it says at Sinai. And the angels had to come and revive them. They said, we can't hear anymore. That's it. Two mitzvot and that's it. We'll die. So that's Ayin. Ayin is the highest level. Aaron's sons. That's not a different story. They didn't see anything. Hashem was not very happy with that. That's all. They didn't see anything. But they did something which Hashem did not ask for. So any egotistic desire, especially if expressed through unholiness, blocks a person's spirituality. That's why it's coming from the ego. I want this, and I want this, and I want this, and I want this. Hashem said, but if you put it, we want this, it's different. The person prays in the weed, that's what we do. Refa'enu Hashem v'rafe. Please heal us, Hashem. It's not egotistic anymore. Hashem has opened to it. Hashem is the least egotistic. He doesn't like egotistic people. I want. I think that. It's very hard not to be like that. And the more a person knows, it's a bigger temptation. I'm a big professor, and I'm a big this, and I'm big. I know more than I. It's always the I. So that's a very important idea, the idea of the eye, where you put the eye. So Hashem puts his eye at a very low level. Ayin represents nothing, nothingness. So when a person is connected with the nothingness of Hashem, that's called shalom. Right, that's shalom. Peace is when a person and Hashem are attached. How is a person attached to Hashem? A person removes his ego, or her ego, and say, oh, you know what, I'm going to submit my ego to Hashem. I'm going to submit my ratzon to Hashem's will. That's what Pisa Perkei Avot. Ase Ritzono. How does it go? Ase Ritzono. Ase Ritzoncha Keritzono. Hu Yase. The other way around. Okay. That's okay. So, that is the highest level, which is annulling one's ego. Because I'm submitting my will to Hashem's will. You submit your will to Hashem's will, he'll submit his will to your will. What does that mean? How can he submit his will to your will? Because your will is already his will. If your will is his will, obviously his will and your will are synchronized. That's the idea, synchronize our wills. Hashem says, I want this. A person says, I want that as well. I'm going to join your will. I'm going to make your will my will. And obviously he's going to win. If you make God's will your will, then you're on God's side. If you're on God's team, you're on the winning side. You're on the winning team. So whatever Hashem wants, we want. It's very good. What does Hashem want? It's Aken Olam Malchut Shaddai. Hashem wants to fix the world under the unity of God, and that's our mission. We have to spread that idea. The second level of so the first level, highest level, is Ratzon. What is your underlying purpose in life? What is your underlying motivation? Number two is thought. Thought is the soul's garment. Through intellectual thought, the soul declares individuality and purpose. So that's interesting. So how do I know who I am? That's my thought. And my thought is my soul. My soul and my thoughts are linked. So through the soul, it's interesting, a person can see without eyes, can hear without ears. Amazing. Sometimes they get messages through the soul, and that's the intellect, the power of the intellect. Number three, sound and speech, the third level. That relates to angelic spheres. It's amazing. When you pray, angels are hearing. They can only hear things that you say, they can't see what you're thinking. Only God knows what you're thinking. Angels cannot tell what you're thinking. It's amazing. So holy angels are articulation of God's thought. And a result of God's words uttered by man. In other words, we can create angels with our words. Amazing. We have the power to create angels. How? Every word you say creates an angel. A good angel or a bad angel. You say good words, create good angels. Say bad words, create bad angels. Terrible. So we have to do teshuva. And create. When a person does teshuva, they destroy all the angels. Right? All the bad angels. So we can create angels. So speech is a very powerful weapon. That's why there's all these laws of Lashon Hara. A person shouldn't think, you know, what did I do? I just said something. Well, speech is a high-level world. It's in the Yetzirah, which is the world of the angels. We don't see it. We don't see the effects of this world. We can see only the higher worlds we see the effects. It's interesting. What we think today is greater, which is actions. You can see it. That's why you can see it. It's because it's in this world. Things you can't see the effects of are in the higher-level worlds. And they're more dangerous because they're much higher-level. So a lot of things we do, a person has bad thoughts all the time. That's the third level up. That's already worse. That's the third level up. That's Olam HaKiseh. That's the world of the throne. That's doing damage in the world above. Whoa. A person has good thoughts, is doing fixing things in the world above. So it's very important to work on these, all the good things, only good things. Good thoughts, good speech, good actions. And see the effects of the bad actions here, but you can't see the effects of bad speech here. Well, sometimes you can. You can see there. But you can't see direct effects of the way. What did I do? I just said something. There's no one around. I just said something bad. I said a swear word. Nothing. No effects. But in the next world, in the world above, there's an effect. In the world above that, there's an effect of our thoughts. In the world above that, there's an effect of our ratzon, desires. So everything has an effect. Everything has an effect. So if you can imagine a person's soul, the central column is the highest level part of the soul, chaya. Around that is the neshama. Around that is the ruach, and around that is the nefesh. So the world, you got to see the world three-dimensional. The spiritual world is three-dimensional. What does that mean, three-dimensional? I mean, it's got a... Everything is like into the head, right? If you imagine different columns coming to the head. So nefesh is the most outer. The body actually is the outer. The body is the outside. The outside is the wrapping, the packaging. The packaging is the body. Inside the body is the levush, the garments of the soul. Inside the levush is the nefesh. Inside the nefesh is the ruach. Inside the ruach is the neshama, and inside the neshama is the chaya, which even doesn't even go inside the person, it's outside. It's sitting on top of the head of a person. So these are different, if you can imagine, the structure. Okay, so the outpouring of divine energy give rise to the four spiritual worlds. Okay. Through interactions with godly thought and other thoughts of the same frequency, speech energy interacts with the world of formation and other speech. Okay. So there's a thing called cosmic resonance. You know, resonance is when two things are the same frequency, they start shaking disproportionately. That's how you make music. You resonate. The wood resonates. You make guitar. You play the guitar and the wood is resonating with the sound of the strings. So you make a loud noise. That's how you make a loud noise. It resonates. Things resonate. So a tuning fork, you bang it and it makes a loud noise. That's the resonance of the tuning fork. So the same thing applies in a spiritual world. That's why with the minyan, all the souls are resonating. They make a massive noise. We can't hear it. Well, sometimes you can. There's people screaming. But the sound of the soul we can't hear. Everyone's praying quietly, the whole idea. The whole idea of praying quietly is to make it internal. Make it more a thought process as opposed to a sound process. That's Arizal says, most people hear their own voice. Well, it's going to be an internal, it's a very high level, it's the Neshama praying. I suppose the Neshama should be praying. The lips should move. There is an action over there, but there's no speech coming out. We don't want the angels to hear. It's a private matter between me and God, no angels involved. Amazing. Amazing concept. So that's spiritual resonance. Our souls are resonating. We don't really we see it. But there's a power with a large group. Rovam Hadrat Melech. The more people in the shul, the more energy there is. It's very powerful. It's very powerful. So the bigger the minyan, the bigger. Unless they're just chit-chatting or something else. But they're ruining the energy. They're ruining the vibrations. So it's amazing because we know, and we read in the Rav Chaim Volozhin, Nefesh HaChaim. Hashem arranged the world that we, human beings, affect the worlds above. It's amazing. We always think God pulls our strings. No, wrong. We, the human beings, are created to pull the strings in the worlds above. It's the opposite. We always look like we're puppets. Hashem's pulling our strings. No, we have free choice. We are pulling the strings of the worlds above. Wow, we are putting the angels around. Amazing. Look at Yaakov, you know, he can fight the angel. How can you fight an angel? And the answer is because we have more power than they do. Amazing. We have the power to pull their strings. They don't have the power to pull our strings. Amazing. So that's amazing a concept. So even the world's about that. We can change history. We can change it. By our prayers, we can change our future. By our deeds, we can change the future. So the soul puts on garments of thought. The soul puts on garments of speech. The soul puts on garments of action through which it interacts with the worlds. So now, what are we trying to do when we meditate? What are we trying to do? We're trying to get mindful of this process. Supposed to be mindful of the process. When I do an action, it has an effect not just on this world, but also the worlds above. When I have a speech, it also has an effect on the worlds above. When I think something has tremendous effects, the world's even higher. So this, I'm supposed to be mindful of these things, meditate on these things. I can see the damage I did in this world, but I can't see the damage what I did in the world above. What damage did I do? How do I fix things in the worlds above? So a person through their tshuva and their head can fix things in the worlds above. So realizing there are garments to be united with the soul's vision is a major premise in Jewish meditation. So what is the garments, the soul's vision? So the soul's vision, we said, is the highest part of the soul, which is the vision. Is the purpose a person has, the raison d'etre, why they're living, why they're alive, what's my purpose in life. And then I use everything around me. So I got to use my thoughts in that direction. I can use my speech in that direction. Use my actions in that direction. We know there are four letters in God's name. Yeah, four letters, UK, VFK. So each one of these letters represent different worlds and different dimensions. So the last Hey, we say, is the world of action. The Vav is the world of the angels. The Hey is the world of Kiseh. And the Yud is the highest level world, which is Atzilut, which is the world of close to God. And all these four different things come from there.
Can you repeat that?
Yes. What I just said. Let's say it slowly. Last Hey.
Last Hey.
Is the world of action. Asiya. World of action. So where we are now, we are in the world of action. We're in the last Hey. Envision the last Hey. We're in the last Hey. I'm just this is very general, very broad and general. We're in the last Hey of God's creation, right? And then the next level up is the world of the angels. That's the Vav, before the last Hey. And the next level up is the world of the throne, which is the second, the first Hey. Right? And the world above that is the world of Atzilut, which is the closest, one of the highest worlds, and that is the Yud. And the world above that is Ratzon. Wow. That's the word. It's a different world. Okay. But that's, but those fourth levels are basically our actions. The last Hey is action. The Vav is speech, which is affecting the second world up. The thoughts is the first Hey. And the Ratzon is the Yud. Okay, so the smaller it is, the more powerful it is. Because the smaller it is, the less you can see of it. The less you can see of something means it's bigger. It's amazing. It's the opposite of everything. We see something big, it's really something small. Something small is really something massive. Today we know the power of an atom. It's tiny, but it's massive. Every, you know, it's interesting. So same thing in the worlds. The more hidden it is, the high level it is. The more revealed it is, the low level it is.
In this book, it often refers to the seven worlds.
That's something else. That's the spherot. We're not talking about spherot over here. Every world has spherot. Okay? What is a world? A world is a spherot. It's a complete system. The world is a system. So every world has its own spherot. Okay? So let's not go into the spherot because that's like complicated. But here we're talking about four different dimensions. That's it.
And you said there's a fifth one?
Yeah, there's many. There's only there's millions. We can't get up there. That's what I'm saying. We don't talk about it. The reason I don't talk about it. He doesn't want to talk about it. He talks about basic... Because what's the point? Obviously Hashem has created trillions and trillions of worlds. What's the point of talking about it? These are things that affect us directly. And we see it with our own bodies. Because we have these four different parts. We have the action, the speech, the thoughts, and the ratzon. So those worlds relate directly to us. Obviously Hashem is unlimited. How many dimensions did he create? Who knows? Trillion, who knows? I don't know. How many worlds did he create? I don't know. How many beings did he create? I don't know. We don't know. Hashem is unlimited. We can't just come along and put Hashem in a box and say, you know what, he only created four worlds. Bizarre. And that's Kabbalah. Kabbalah is like the sea. It just doesn't end. It just has so many different levels. It's like an onion, we said. You peel one level, there's another level. You peel one level, it's like the Torah. Shivim pani la Torah. 70 different parts of the Torah, at least. I mean, and each part has got probably 70. It's like, it's never ending. Hashem's world is never ending because Hashem is never ending. How can He didn't create a small world. Why did God create such a complicated world? Even this world, even the Asiyah, the lowest level world, is so complicated. Why is it so complicated? To show he's complicated. And yet the rabbis say he's simple. He's complicated and simple at the same time. And Arizal says he's Or Pashut, simple light. What does that mean, simple light? Come on. Most complex, but it's unity. That's what it means, simple. Simple means unity. God is one. There's no parts. Hard to understand, because everything we see are parts, but every part comes from God, so everything is God. We just see the parts, we don't see the big picture, we can't see the master, the creator, the one, the unity of the world, that's what we have to see. If the parts all work together, we see the mechanisms working, so it must be all unified, it's unified. So today they have unified, what's it called? Unified string theory and unified this. They're trying to find one formula to, right? Ari, help us. What's it called? One formula to encompass the whole world, the universe. One formula. That's it. Amazing. Who would think about it? You think it's so complicated. There's so many different formulae. No, there's one formula. Why? Because everything is unified. It's amazing.
Don't say Hashem Echad.
Yeah, Hashem Echad. The trouble is...
Yeah, one concept.
One concept. It's all
Hashem's
one.
Everything.
It's all one. That's right. The entire universe is Hashem's name. That's what we have to understand. It's all Hashem's name. It's in number four. So Hashem's name can be understood as absolute existence. Or Yudke Vavke, he brings into existence. I don't want to say the word, but that's we learned the Mishnah today that in Yom Kippur the Kohen Gadol, Anna Hashem. Right, when he does the vidui for his he says, Anna Hashem, we say in our prayer book, Anna Hashem, please Hashem. What Hashem did he, what name did he use? So some people want to say he said the real Yudke Vavke, the way it's written. Not Aleph Dalet. He says the Yud Kei Vav Kei, the way it's written. And some people want to say he says the 42-letter name of God. Oh boy. So every time he said Hashem in the temple, on Yom Kippur, he said the 42-letter name of God, or he said the... Okay. So that is God's name. That is... That's how everything came into being. It's the life force that creates from nothing. Amazing. The creative process is dictated by emanates from this letter, name's four letters. And these four letters represent the four levels. Will, thought, word, action. Will, thought, word, action. That's really what we're trying to say. Will, thought, word, action. Will, thought, word, action. That's what it is. Yud, kei, vav, kei. Will, thought, word, action. These are the four different parts of us, what we do. We do actions, that's the lowest level. That's the last hey. We speak, that's the vav, high level. You got to watch what we say, even high level. Our thoughts, first hey, even higher level. And our will is the highest yid, the highest level. So as God, just like God is one, all the levels combine to form one unit. The unified structure is God's signature. Amazing. Today we can understand more. Today we're seeing the unified. They're trying to get this unified theory. Unified theory. Why? Well, they don't realize where it's pointing to. It's pointing to one God. It's pointing to one creator. That's what it's pointing to. Unified theory. So the worlds manifest God's name. That means God is not out there. God is here with us because his name is manifested around us. Amazing. He's everywhere, right here, at every level. Every detail. Okay, let's move on to page 42 for those who have the book. And we'll talk about man's purpose. What is man's purpose? So there's a song called Shira Yehud of Rabbi Yehuda Hasid. So by the way, there's a massive debate who wrote this song. A lot of people say it's Rabbi Yehuda Hasid, Rabbi Judah the Pious, who was an Ashkenazi rabbi 1,000 years ago in Germany. So he talks about the Ein Sof. What is Ein Sof? This Kabbalistic term for God is Ein Sof. Ein Sof means there's no end. Infinite, the infinite one. But it's in the negative, because we don't know anything about positive about God. So it's in the negative. He's Ein Sof. There is no end to God. So God has no end, but creation has an end. Creation is all about boundaries. Creation is all about separation. And the first thing God does is Vayavdel Elokim. Right? On the second day, Abdullah was on the second day. Vayavdel Elokim ben ha'or ve'la choshech. Ve'or kara yom ve'la choshech kara laila. Vayer vayboker yom. Guys. Echad. First day, he separated. But in the second day, he separated the waters. The waters above and the waters below. So interesting. That's why you don't get married on the second day. You don't get married on Monday. Why? It's a time of separation. It doesn't say Kitov. It doesn't say Kitov on Monday. It says on Tuesday, it says Pamayim Kitov. That's when he finished the work of separation. So it says Kitov twice, and that's why people get married on a Tuesday. Monday night. Tuesday. Because it says twice. It's good. It's good. It's good. There's no separations. But that's the way opposite creation worked. Everything is boundaries. Everything is levels. In fact, we know in our lives, if there's no structure, there's no boundaries, then everything falls apart. This is the world of structure. This is the world of boundaries. Hashem has no boundaries. Hashem controls himself with no boundaries. Amazing. Who's policing God? And the answer is, God doesn't need it. God's self-policing. No boundaries, no. But in creation, you need boundaries. Because we see even chesed needs boundaries. Why do we need chesed and din? Why does God create kindness and judgment? Why? And the answer is because there's too much kindness. Everything is bizarre. The world goes crazy. It's permissive society. Make love, not war. It's just permissive. Everything's allowed. Everything's good. Everything's. And that's what the rabbis, the Torah says by a person who has relations with his sister. Chesed he. It's chesed. It's no boundaries. On the other hand, too many boundaries also is a combination of chesed and gvura. The rabbi said when you rebuke someone, your left hand pushes and your right hand pulls. You need the chesed of the right hand, you need the gvura of the left hand. Teaching children, you need both the chesed and the gvura. You can't just have all gvura, all judgment, and you can't be all judgmental, you can't be all too kind. You have to have boundaries over here. This is the world of boundaries. So God, no boundaries. No separation. Creation is all about boundaries and separation. So it's interesting because we, in a world of boundaries, have the ability to reach inward and access the Ein Sof. We have the ability to reach God through our souls. Because the souls are an emanation from God, and therefore we are linked to the Ein Sof through our souls. We are linked to God through the souls, and therefore we can recognize the being, that there's a God, there's a creator above us, even through this physical layers of creation and the physical. So amazing. We have this ability to see through the physical and get straight to God. Amazing. That's an amazing concept. That takes a lot of imagination, by the way. There's a God out there. People's got to know there's a God. You got to know it, not just think it and believe it. You got to know that there's a God I can reach. If I need God, I can reach God any second. And God is there for me. Through external levels of creation, generally remain in their specific fields of spiritual energy, man is a constant state of flux. I call the man the joker in the pack. If you have a pack of cards, who's the joker in the pack? It's not nature, it's man. Nature follows the system. Man, it's hard to figure out a system. You ask any psychologist, right? If you have a system for a human being, can you put a human being in a box? No, you don't know. One day, you know, he's acting normally and rationally. The other day, he's gone crazy and who knows what's going on. The pressures of life, who knows what happened to the guy. One day, just flew off in a, you know, rage, or he flew off in a... He's doing all sorts of weird things. Okay, so human beings are the joker in the pack. Everyone else you can fix somewhere. Animals, pretty much, you can tell what they're going to do, but human beings, you can't tell what they're going to do. It's amazing. We don't operate just basically by instinct. We operate on all kinds of levels, emotional levels, and intellectual levels, all different kinds of levels. So man is the joker in the pack, and man is the only thing which is not a constant. Everything in the universe, you can measure constants. There's a lot of constants in the universe. When it comes to humans, no constants. The only constant is that they want, that they desire. The ego wants, usually. But the movement of man affects the cosmos. Wow. And that's the secret of our purpose. That gives us purpose in life. We can affect nature. We can affect the... Right? What did Hashem tell Adam? Le'ovdal shomra. You have to work the garden and you have to guard it. Two things. You have to work it and guard it. So it's just your purpose. Your purpose is to make things better. That's our purpose. Le'taken olam. We have to fix the world. We have the purpose to fix the world. The trouble is, the world is not just this world. We're doing a bad job of this world. But it's also the worlds above. We have to fix all the worlds. That's the hard job. But that's our purpose. So I want to get close to Hashem. But how do I get close to Hashem? And the answer is, if I help Hashem fix, I become his partner of the world. And by doing that, I'm getting close to Hashem. So Hashem created man in his image. V'tzelem Elokim bara'oto. Bara'otam, it says. In his image, he created them. Male and female, he created them. Hey, that's before he split them. Rashi says. The first creation was man and Adam and Hava, back to back, whatever it was. Let's not go into that now. It says them. There's Midrashim that say that was the first man. First man was created. Many people were created. It wasn't just two. He created them. Doesn't say two. Many. Pre-Adam man. Or whatever that means. Let's not go there. But Hashem created man. In his image. What's the mean, his image? Rav Chaim Volozhin says, Nefesh HaChaim, man controls all spiritual influence and manifestation. Amazing. That's the image of God. What do you mean, the image of God? God gave man the ability to be like God-like, in a sense. In fact, that's one of the reasons. The Midrash says amazing things. It says Hashem had to create man to sleep. Why? Because the angels thought man was God. He sees man walking around, and he has effects in the worlds above. So who is the creator? They got confused. There's one man, and there's God. There's one God and one man. And the man is doing things, and he's not stopping. He just keeps on going. He's like a god. And he's doing all sorts of things in the worlds above. He's causing havoc and whatever. Who knows what he's doing? At that time, he's good. Didn't last long. So they thought he's God. So Hashem says, I got to make him sleep so that people won't get confused. He's not a god. No, we need to sleep. Why do we need to sleep? Because if we really think that we can do it, we can keep going 24 hours a day and when we're endless. So that's the idea. Hashem created man as his form. It means that we can control all spiritual influence and manifestation. That's amazing. Through our soul root, we can access the highest manifestation of the infinite. And we can go up there and draw things down from the highest levels. Amazing. Human beings are the conduit between God and creation. We bridge the supernal and the lower worlds. So this is in the name of High Gaon. When a person realizes they are the Merkava, great secrets will be known to them. So let's talk about that. So Rav Chaim Volozhin says that the vision of Ezekiel, right? Ezekiel sees in chapter 1, he sees an amazing sight of God's chariot, whatever that means, Merkava. Right? He sees the Merkava and he sees the image of a man on the Merkava. So who is on the Merkava? Who is on the Merkava? He saw the image of a man on the Merkava. Who's on the Merkava? Huh? Beautiful. Rav Chaim Volozhin says, it's the souls of the Jewish people. The man of the Merkava is not God. It's me. So you read the story, you think, this is God on his chariot. This is God's chariot, right? So he was he's a vision of a man. He's not really a man, is he? It's God. He's riding a chariot, whatever that means. Don't take it literally. There's no chariot, there's no man. It's a metaphor for something going on. In other words, what Rav Chaim Volozhin explains, he says the souls of human beings are really controlling the world. They're riding the chariot. The chariot is a mechanism God uses to control the world. And therefore, we are the ones who are the bosses of the system. We don't really realize it. Through our souls. We are running the system. We just can't see it. So any havoc in the system is our fault. If there's a tornado and a hurricane, it's our fault because we're running the system. We're running the system. We're like, we're doing a good job. We're doing a bad job. We can see it. Amazing. We have a tremendous power in the worlds above. It's very hard to imagine. We have the power in the worlds above to wreak havoc. We can destroy worlds, we can create worlds. Worlds, whole worlds. Imagine a person dies, take him out, they say, listen, you see that? Big gap over here? Say, yeah, that was you. What? That was you. You spoke Lashon Hara, you see that gap over there? See all those dead angels over there? That's you. Wow, I did it? Yeah, you did. I didn't know I had the power. Well, better wake up. You have the power. We have the power and the energy. We have to do it. So this is the entire universe of God's names, right? It's man's privilege and mission to make manifest the lower worlds, to connect to God and bring that name into the world. So as we're trying to bring God's energy into the world, and our uniqueness lies in our connection to God while residing in the darkest corner of creation. We are the bottom of creation. It's amazing. Think about it. We are the bottom of creation. This world is the lowest level. Bottom of creation. And yet we, our souls, are linked to the top. Our souls are linked to the top. And through our souls, the linkage, we can affect all the different worlds. So we can affect both. So we, since we're linked to God, even though we're in the lowest part of creation, we have the power. Imagine. Think about a king. The king's son is in the darkest corner dungeon of the kingdom. He's the king's son. All he has to do is make a little call, and the king will shatter everything around him and get him out of there. Same thing. We're the king's child. We're the neshama, which comes from God. So we have that power to connect to God, and by doing that, we can change things around us. We can alter things around us. Okay. So I'm going to stop here. Baruch Adonai Le'olam. Amen. Amen.